Easter Day. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. So what? What does it mean for you and me? Well, this is the happiest day in the Christian calendar. More than Christmas, even though there aren't so many presents, more than the harvest festival, more than any other day. For today we celebrate the fact that come what may, we all have a future. We don't have to fear death anymore. Well, on Friday, I was preaching about the presence of fear in all around, in all those trying to put Jesus to death. But today, that is behind us. We need not fear anymore. And it is fear that is the opposite of love. Not hate or bitterness, but sheer, blinding, crucifying fear. Jesus suffered so much, and we have been reflecting in these last few days on exactly what he suffered. And I think the hardest thing was that he was betrayed by his friends. And there was one wobbly moment during the week when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? But after that, it was courage and resolution lit by love all the way. He showed us that whatever the world throws at us, there is a way through. We don't have to be defeated by it. We just have to follow his example, and always it is to love others as ourselves. Now, it might mean that we have to suffer for what we believe to be right. It might mean we have to suffer for the sake of others. But through the suffering, there is triumph, and there is literally a light at the end of the tunnel. Now, of course, it is difficult for us to believe that Jesus literally rose from the dead. And different people have different interpretations of that. And so I love that passage in Corinthians, which we heard this morning, in which St. Paul states in a factual way, as the result of eyewitness accounts, what happened. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised to life on the third day according to the scriptures, that he appeared to Peter, Cephas, and afterwards to the 12, and then to 500, no less, 500, 500 of our brothers, and then in the end, as Paul says, even to me. And Paul's letter was probably written before any of the other accounts, about 54 AD. And it was written to members of the church in Corinth who'd been discussing that very thing, the nature of the risen Christ, soul or body. But all that is looking back at the events from our historical perspective. Let's just listen or look at the gospel once again, that great dramatic gospel so beautifully read. It tells us the great drama that Mary Magdalene couldn't wait through the night any longer. And so she went to the tomb when it was still dark early in the morning. Well, I expect you can hear I don't come from these parts, but in the little villages where I minister, we still bury the dead in the churchyards surrounding the churches. And I know that people visit those churchyards very frequently. Many visit every single day following the death of a loved one. And of all the things that people get upset about, it's the condition of the churchyard and, of course, their own particular graves. And so just imagine Mary Magdalene on that first Easter day, arriving at the tomb in great grief and anguish. The end of it all that promise, all that hope, it had all come to nothing. Her beloved was dead, and she was in agony. So imagine her thoughts when she saw that the grave had been disturbed and the body gone. And then imagine that through her tears, and we all know that looking through tears, light and color can be enhanced and changed. Looking through the tears, she saw two angels. And she was so convinced of their presence that she was able to talk to them. And then she turned round and, still through the tears, in desperation asked the gardener, "Where have you taken him?" All he had to say was, "Mary." And that was enough. Then she knew. Well, part of my job in England is to visit some of the schools, and I've often tried a little experiment. I ask the children to close their eyes, and I choose a teacher to call out a child's name. This is something you could try yourselves in your own families. Because without exception, every child knows the name of a teacher who calls out, even though they can't see them. You see, we recognize voices, and we recognize when we are being called. Jesus called Mary's name, and she knew. She knew he was there, and she was so excited and convinced that she ran off and told the others. It wasn't the angels or the visual appearance in the garden. It was the calling of her name. Well, maybe that's how it is for us. We cannot see the risen Lord, but can we hear him calling? For some reason, part of my journey this year has been a desire to know the face of Jesus. We all have spiritual journeys, and that's part of mine this year. And I don't know why I want that. And others may think me stupid or immature, but that has been my desire. But I can see we don't need that. Jesus, the perfect man, died on a cross and appeared to so many. And instead of that becoming some spooky little story in a little sect somewhere far, far away, it is the news that has changed the world, not just then, but for the subsequent 2,000 years and all over the world. Jesus Christ is risen today. He calls us by name. We need fear death no more. Life doesn't stop. We have a future. Come what may, there is hope. We are all children of God, whoever and whatever he or she is. And we are brothers and sisters of Jesus himself. And just think of this. Just think. Just as the earth consists of stardust, so by definition, we are God dust. It's a lovely thought. We are God dust, made out of God, because there was nothing else he could make us out of. So isn't that a wonderful thought? And so we are all connected. Today, I feel particularly privileged and happy. Not only am I connected to all the people at home who I know will be celebrating, some on a tiny little hill, welcoming in the dawn of Easter, but also with all of you, with all the people here, because the love of God goes right around the world. We are connected. We are an Easter people. Today we celebrate. The news is so great that it cannot be contained, and so I brought something with me. Just as the bubbles in here need to fizz out of this bottle, so we can fizz. We can fizz like a champagne bottle because of the excitement of Easter Day. Now then, we'll see. I first learnt how to do this in a convent, actually.